Good morning, everybody. We want to thank you for your presence with us in the Lord's house on this bank holiday weekend. We're very glad of your presence. We pray the Lord will be pleased to come and presence himself with us. Just going to read to you one verse in the Psalm 103. It says, the Lord, remember, the Lord is Jehovah, as it's spelt in the text with the small capitals, the covenant name. It reminds us of his faithfulness. So the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So the words especially, slow to anger, we want to emphasize they're in keeping just with the theme that we will come to in the scriptures just a little later on in the service today. The words of the hymn number 6, please, is our opening praise. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tributes bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. So hymn number 6, and we'll rise as we worship, please. Seek the Lord together just in prayer. We'll take a moment just before we do that to still our hearts as we come to seek his face together. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer, praying that You'll pour out Your Spirit upon us. In this service today, we ask that even now that the Holy Ghost will descend upon this meeting, may the Spirit come down upon our lives. May all of us be aware that the Holy Ghost is here in our midst. We pray that we'll sense His power and His movings even in our midst. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come and guide us through this service from beginning to end. We acknowledge, Father, that we're in need of guidance and leading from Thyself. Come and lead us through every part. Come and guide us, Father, through this whole day. We want to pray as well as we set out on this new week that we'll know the guiding hand of God in all we do, every day, every step that we take. The Scriptures tell us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord, what a challenge, and yet what a comfort that is, that every step that we take in life can be guided and directed by Thyself. We want to pray, Father, especially You'll guide us today in our worship. Your word says that we're to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Save us, Father, from worshiping Thee in the flesh, with a heart that's not right with God, not prepared before the Lord. Even now, Father, as we're bowed in prayer, we want to ask that You'll put Your hand upon us. Come and touch us today. May we know the touch of God upon this meeting. May we know the touch of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our prayer would be, Father, that we would not leave this meeting, not leave this service, the same people that come in. We ask that this would be a meeting where we meet with God Himself, where the Lord is pleased to come down and meet with us. Lord, to that end, we cry and plead with Thee to come and visit us today in the house of the Lord. We thank You for the Spirit of God that inspired the book. We think of that great work of inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Lord, we acknowledge today that we need the aid of the One that wrote the book to come and teach us. We would cry, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. We pray, Father, therefore especially, that the Holy Ghost will guide us through our study, through our meditation upon Your Word. We pray that He'll open the Scriptures to us, that He'll teach us today. We pray that He'll shine light upon the Word of God, that we might see things, even in the Scriptures, that we've never seen, never known, never understood as clearly before. Lord, we ask Thee to guide us through the message. May the power of God rest upon it. We pray the same, Father, for the gospel service tonight, that the Holy Ghost will come, that it will be a Holy Ghost gospel service. Lord, we're praying, continue to bring in visitors, send in others to these meetings. Send in the lost, Father. We remember the outreach work that has been done, all the invitations distributed. Oh God, we ask for a response from this community. We're saddened, Father, by the apathetic days in which we're found, the apathy spiritually all around us, that there's no hearing, that famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, we ask Thee to be pleased to rid our land of that famine. Give a hunger again for Your Word, for the preaching of the Gospel. Lord, bring in the lost tonight to the Gospel service. We ask that in this house this evening there will be an ear for the Gospel message, that there will be those that will be spoken to. We ask Thee to hear our cries. We plead, Lord, that You'll save in our midst, that You'll save our family members. We thank You for the children, the young people of our church that have gathered in Sunday school and Bible classes this morning already. All the preparations that are being made, encourage the children. Give them help, bless every teacher. Lord, we thank You for all the work that has been done in the classes since last September, the teaching, the faithful instruction of the Word of God, the setting forth of the Gospel message. Lord, we're asking Thee to save these little ones. Your Word tells us that we're not to despise one of these little ones that believe in Thee. So we're praying, Father, for the saving of the boys and girls, all of the children, of all of the families of this congregation. Put your hand upon our Children's Day services next Sabbath day. We pray for the program, that the blessing of God will be evident upon it. We pray, Father, for the word of God, the message of God, to go forth clearly to the hearts of all that will be gathered. Remember the Reverend Lyndon as he will come to speak. Guide him in those messages. We pray, use your servant. Bring in visitors from the families, even, Father, from the city. And we ask that it will be a day that is marked by salvation, blessing clearly upon it. Thank you for last Sabbath, especially the visitors that were with us last Sunday evening. Encourage the Ukrainians, strengthen their hands. Lord, we thank you for the provision you've made for them, even here in this land, and how you're using them at this time. We pray for the land of Ukraine, the work of the gospel there. Prosper that work, we pray. Thank you, Father, for the great interest there is in the preaching of the gospel across that nation, even at this time. We pray for the advancing, the increase of the Church of Jesus Christ. We remember, Father, those that have lost dear ones, especially in the war. We ask thee to be near to them. We think of some families, Father, that have experienced great heartache. May they know the comfort of God. We're praying for the intervention of the Lord to be known in that war, that would bring it quickly to an end. Lord, we remember that occasion when the Assyrians gathered around the city of Jerusalem in the days of King Hezekiah, and how, Father, you caused other circumstances to the Assyrians to have to leave Jerusalem and not bring their attack upon it at that time. O God, we believe that you can do the same, the sovereign God, that you can overrule in circumstances and world events that would bring that war to an end even very quickly. So, Lord, our eyes are upon thee even at this time. And we ask thee, Lord, to be with us here as a church through this incoming week, all the activities that are planned. Remember the prayer meetings. May the power of God be upon the midweek service. Lord, give us a burden as a congregation to seek thee more. Pour out the spirit of prayer. We ask upon us, quicken us at the throne of grace. May we see definite answers to our cries. Remember the young people and the teachers as they will go on the outing on Friday evening. We pray for their safety. And we pray that they'll have a good and happy time together, the ladies, in that visit to the palace just on Saturday. May that be a means of encouraging and refreshing the ladies through the times of fellowship together. We look forward too, Father, to the show at Gosford, the outreach there. We pray for good weather. We pray, Father, for the blessing of God upon the outreach that will be made, not just by ourselves, even others that will be there, Father, that are faithful in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Encourage every heart. But we pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to give us many opportunities to speak to people, those that you've been preparing, those that are concerned about their soul in the light of eternity. And we ask, Lord, that even on that day, that in the gazebo, that there'll be those that'll be brought to Christ, those that'll be led to the Savior in salvation. So, Lord, we're asking thee to abide with us now through this meeting. Come and help us. Lord, we need wisdom. We need the touch of God. We plead for it now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of the 30th paraphrase. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. So the 30th paraphrase, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Thank you. We're reading together in the Word of God, in the book of Ephesians, in the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We're going to begin to read together at the 13th verse of the chapter, and we'll read together down to the end. Ephesians 4:13. Let's hear God's word as it's read to our hearts today. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Remember, the word conversation is the idea of our conduct or our behavior. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Closing our reading just there, the end of the chapter. And we know and are sure the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We're thankful at all that have gathered with us for this Sabbath morning service. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're visiting, we're especially glad to welcome you to the meeting. I pray that you'll be blessed, that together we'll know the blessing of the Lord's presence and his speaking voice to us. Good to see the children and the young people that are gathered. It was good again to hear them taking part here in the church in their practice for Children's Day. We're looking forward to that. But we appreciate all that have come, especially on this bank holiday weekend, when some are away. We do appreciate your fellowship and support of the meeting here. Want to welcome those that are watching in on the live stream just at this time, some of our members as well that are not able to be here. We pray that you'll be blessed, that you'll know the presence of the Lord and a speaking voice from his word as we meditate upon it. Remember, please, tonight, we encourage you to come again to the house of God. Don't be a Sunday morning only worshipper. Give the whole day to the Lord. Come along to the prayer meeting at 6. We would be glad of your prayerful support. The gospel service then at 6:30. I hope to be preaching myself in the gospel tonight. The theme is why you should get saved immediately. The urgency there is to the matter of God's salvation. So we invite you to come and bring others with you along to that gospel meeting too. Remember that the annual May offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible has been taken at both services today. We ask you to place your gift in an envelope, mark it for the Whitfield College, and then place it in one of the plates at the doors. We encourage you to give as generously as you can to that special offering. Wednesday night at 8 is our prayer meeting and our Bible study. I'll be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself. We'll be glad of your support, your presence. We impress upon you the importance of that meeting and of the seasons of prayer. Remember the Sunday school outing taking place on Friday evening. The bus will be leaving the Mall just outside the Orange Hall at 6 o'clock on Friday evening, going over to Airtastic, to the trampoline park in Craigavon. They had a very good time there last year, so having a return visit. Then there'll be some food afterwards in McDonald's. Just remind the parents, there's a need for you to fill out and to return the parental consent form for your children before next Friday night, so just to emphasise that. Then on Saturday afternoon at 3 is the visit to the Armagh Palace for the ladies of the congregation. Remember, that's open to you and your family and your friends. So any of the ladies that would like to go, or if you'd like to bring any of your sisters or whatever with you, put their names down as well. Put your names on the list. We need to have the names on the list today. We have to send in to the palace just some indication of the numbers that we'll be attending, just for the catering purposes. It'll last for approximately an hour and a half, somewhere in that region. So please remember, put your name or names on that list today. And we ask everyone, we ask the ladies, just to make your own way over to the palace on Saturday afternoon. Remember, we need to be there for 3, so do come in good time, come a wee bit early. Then next Lord's Day, the 4th of June, it is our Children's Day. Just remind the Sunday school that you're meeting again at 10:30, just a little bit earlier, for the practice next Sabbath morning. Both meetings, 11:30 and 6:30. The children will be taking part in both of those services. The speaker, our special guest speaker, the Reverend David Linden, one of our retired ministers, originally from Newry for many years the minister in Port Glenowen. Remember that there's no communion because it is Children's Day, and there will be supper for everyone after the service next Sunday night. So we're asking the ladies again just to help in the provision of the food. And there is the half hour of prayer before both of those services. Monday week, that's Monday the 5th, at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee downstairs in the church hall, just to remind all members of committee of that meeting. And then Tuesday week, that's Tuesday the 6th, at 7:30 as well, is the outreach team meeting here at the church at 7:30. So just to remind the members of the outreach team of that, and we encourage others as well to come and get involved in that outreach. Remember that Saturday week, that's the 10th, is the Armagh show, and we need folk to help through the day with the outreach. There is the list in the ports that Billy has prepared, so please put your name down on that list. If you can do a slot or even slots, if you'd like to come in the morning and go away for a little walk around the show and then come back again. But we encourage just as many as possible to help. It's always helpful to have a good number that are involved in it. And then this day, 2 weeks, is the ordination of our new elders. That will take place at the evening service. That's Sunday the 11th, at the evening service at 6:30. That's a very special meeting. We'd like you to be present. Make that known and encourage others to come as well. And then on the Monday evening, the 12th, is the LTBS TV recordings over at Lurgan. Those start at 7, but if you could be there even for 8 or 9 to form part of the congregation, they do need support for that, just to help the recordings, even to help the appearance of the recordings, to help with the singing. It's a little ministry. It's a way that you can be involved in the Lord's work as well. So there is a list there in the porch. They do need to have some gauge in advance just of the numbers that are coming. So if you plan to go over that night, do put your name on the list there in the porch as soon as you can. Just some other meetings in the wider denomination. Remember that the sending forth service for the Kirkscaddans is on Thursday the 8th of June. So that's Thursday night week. It's at 8 o'clock. It's been held in the Dungannon Church. Their facilities kindly granted, a very central location. The Reverend Mercer, the chairman of the board, will be the preacher. Miss Terza Walker from Lurgan is to be the singer. So we do encourage you to come across to Lurgan for that, or sorry, to Dungannon for that special missionary meeting. Keep in mind the two sheets there from the Missionary Council that are in the porch. One is the latest prayer requests for the various mission fields, and the other is the special projects that need funding. So if you can help with the funding of some of those projects, help with the costs of them, speak to our brother and sister Wesley and Laura and myself about that as soon as you can. Remember the training seminars that the board has organized for children's workers. There's three of those to be held across the province in September. The nearest to us here is in Market Hill on Saturday the 16th of September. That will be conducted by the Reverend McKay and our children's evangelists that work onto the board. There's an advert on the Facebook page that give you the full details. It's open to everyone, and you're encouraged to register in advance, and we want to encourage you to attend, go along and benefit from that training seminar. Keep in mind the literature that is available. The latest Vision magazine is there, and the booklet that's highlighting the Lough Erne Convention, and there's also the bookmark that our brother Donald sent down. That's the bookmark with all the prayer requests that's on it for the Ukrainians that we highlighted at both services last Sabbath day. There's some we want to encourage you to pray for just at this time. Mrs. Annie Verner, that's Ken's mum. She's been quite unwell, very weak and ill during the past week. The family have been giving her supports, spending time with her. So pray that she would know the Lord's strengthening touch. The family too would know the Lord's help just at this time. Our brother Jim Cross was taken into hospital in the early part of the week. Remember, Jim had had a chest infection that has developed into pleurisy. So Jim in hospital, just to benefit from some help there. He is making steady progress towards recovery, so pray that very soon he'll be well enough to be able to leave the hospital again. Just to mention finally, Mrs. June Hamilton, that'll be known to some of you in the United States, the wife of the Reverend Stephen Hamilton. Remember, Stephen's the minister of the Lehigh Valley Church in Pennsylvania. It was Stephen's dad, Billy, that was the caretaker of the martyrs for many years. Some of you will remember Billy, remember him fondly. Stephen ministered in Mount Marion and in Rutherglen before going to the United States. His wife June was originally from the States. She was diagnosed with cancer some time back, and at present she's very ill, very low, has been taken into the hospice there in the United States for care, and they would value as a family your prayerful support at this time as well. We're going to sing the hymn 419 as we come to the scriptures this morning. 419, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. So 419, we'll stand again to sing. Seek the Lord together. Father, we want to pray and intercede for others in need just at this time. We ask thee to remember Mrs. Verner, be near to her. May she be very conscious of your presence. We're praying, Father, that it might be your will to put your healing hand, your healing touch upon her sister again. Remember the family too, sustain them and guide them at this time. We pray for our brother Jim in the hospital. May he know the Lord at his side And Lord, guide the staff there in all that they would do. We're praying that Jim too would know and experience the healing touch of the Lord. We're mindful for Brother Adrian, our Brother Colin too at this time, each of them in their varying needs. We're mindful of the Hamilton family there in the United States, our sister June especially. Pray, Father, that she would be conscious of your presence and grace at this time. Remember Stephen, sustain them, the girls and their families. Lord, we ask that they will prove the sufficiency of your grace even at this time. We ask thee, Father, abide with us, speak to our hearts. We think of the words that we've sung together. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. Give us, Father, that Christ-like attitude, that Christ-like outlook. Let this mind be in you, the Scriptures tell us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hear our cries, and we plead for the touch of God upon the ministry, our study of your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Philippians chapter 4. Our text is the words at the end of the verse, the end of the chapter. The final two verses, Philippians 4, 31 and 32. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The words especially, I'll emphasize at the beginning of verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking. So it's the words and wrath and anger. The message is following on from what we considered last Sabbath, and it was the second part of a message that we had considered right back at the end of April, the 30th of April, I believe it was. We're thinking this morning about what to do with your anger. If I could tell you a story just at the outset that illustrates a very important point. There was a judge in the United States in Minneapolis a number of years ago. His name was Judge John Weeks. He looked down in the courtroom one day and he saw a man sitting in his court with a hat on. That was against the decorum, the general rules and procedures of the court. Judge Weeks got very angry, got quite upset and mad about this man sitting in the court with a hat on. So he ordered the man out of the court. He wasn't allowed to stay for the proceedings. A short time after that, in the court proceedings, the court program for the day, George Rogd was called to the stand on a charge of burglary. But no one rose, no one came forth to take the stand when the call was made. And then the defending attorney pointed out to the judge and said, sir, that's the man that you ordered from the court. He was one of the criminals to be charged in his case to be dealt with that day. They actually never found George Roke after that. The police went in search of him, but he got away on that particular occasion. The story illustrates this important point we all need to take to heart. The judge got angry, and because of his anger, he did something that perhaps he never intended to do. He did something that had quite serious consequences for him on that occasion. And that is the reality, brethren and sisters. Sometimes, because of anger, because of wrath, the two words are used in our text, people err. They do things that otherwise they would generally not do. They behave in a way that normally they wouldn't behave. And in the Scriptures, there are many examples of that. If you study the life of Moses, I encourage you to do that. Read through the chapters in the Bible, especially the chapters in the book of Exodus, that tell the story of the life of Moses. And notice the number of times that Moses got angry. And at times, it was quite uncontrollable. anger that Moses displayed. Even if you read the story of the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel, if you think of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible tells us that Nebuchadnezzar got full of fury. He got full of fury because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they wouldn't bow down before his image in Daniel chapter 3. In fact, it tells us that the form of his visage was changed. I'm sure at some stage in life you have encountered a person like that. They got so mad, that they got so furious, that it was as if their appearance changed. You couldn't recognize them as being the same person. Well, that's the change that happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he got angry that day. You think of the story of Jonah. Doest thou well to be angry? There's the question that the Lord asked of Jonah. Jonah was very angry, exceeding. If you read through that fourth chapter, notice the repetition of the word exceeding as it is used in different contexts, but Jonah was very, very cross. And you know who Jonah was cross with especially? He was angry with God himself. So anger, brethren and sisters, is something that is common. And I think in fact we'd have to say it's too common, even among us as the people of God. We'd all have to admit today we've been angry. We would all have to recognize at times we've received anger. Anger's an ugly thing. We have been thinking about how to be a beautiful Christian, the things that make you beautiful in God's sight, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of holiness. Well, anger is not one of those things. Anger is something that's ugly. It's obnoxious. It's something that's not very pleasant. Maybe it's something that troubles you. And if that's the case, the question is, what do you do with it as a child of God? How do you deal with anger? Well, you have the answer here in this passage of God's Word. Read the portion again a little later. Paul sets out a list of sins, common sins, things we're all familiar with, sins that even believers are guilty of and that believers must deal with. And one of them, in fact, I think it's true, it's probably the most prominent one of the latter verses of Ephesians chapter 4, is wrath and anger. So we want to ask from this portion, what should you do with your anger? What is God's will for the Christian as far as wrath and anger are concerned? Let me give you some answers. Let's take a look and see what the Lord has to say about it. First of all, can emphasize the importance of controlling it. Often you've heard the expression, maybe you've used it, control your temper. You're encouraging someone to be able to control themselves, not to lose their temper. Well, that's the drift of the message here. That's the drift of this passage of God's Word. Don't be ungoverned. Don't be out of control. Remember that anger is a passion, and sometimes our passions can get out of control. So that's what we've been taught here. We're not to be ungoverned. We're not to be like a wild animal, as it were, when it comes to something like wrath and anger. We need to control ourselves and control that anger. You need to control it in your own life. What that means is we ought not to be bad-tempered. James said in his epistle, we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Isn't that good advice to us all? Swift to hear. Sometimes we get those first two the wrong way round, where we're swift to speak and we're slow to hear. But we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. The Bible says, whenever Paul was writing to Titus, remember that we were going through some of the qualifications for those that should be in office. One of the things that Paul said to Titus, one of the things to identify in the man to be chosen, was not soon angry. And that should be true of us all, brethren and sisters. It's clear just from those verses alone that the believer shouldn't get angry quickly or easily. It's said of Julius Caesar, when he was getting worked up and he thought he was going to get mad, that he would take time to recite the Greek alphabet. He thought that by the time he had gone through the whole Greek alphabet that he might have settled down a wee bit. He was trying not just to be too quick as far as his wrath and his anger was concerned. You've heard the expression, bite your tongue. Maybe somebody said that to you when they know you're getting a little bit angry. Somebody said, by way of response to that, my tongue is nearly bitten off. I've been biting it so much. Those things may be of benefit, brethren and sisters, but for the Christian, there's a better way to control our temper. And that's by God's grace and by God's power. Let God's grace control your life. Let Christ be in control of your life and your passions. And if that is the case, then there will be no problem with any of these things. Remember, in Galatians 5, you have the fruit of the Spirit. So that is, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're controlled by the Spirit, if the Spirit is resting upon your life, then those are the fruits, these are the characteristics that will be evident in your life. One is long-suffering. You'll be patient towards those that are upsetting you. And another one is temperance. Remember, temperance is when you're in control, not just of your anger, but in control of your whole being, every part of your life. So the more Christ is in control, then the less anger and a bad temper will come to the fore. So control it in your own life. But it's possible for you to control anger in the lives of others. You might think that's strange, impossible. You think it's enough, you have enough trouble controlling yourself as far as anger is concerned. You ask this morning, how can I control anger in the lives of others? Well, don't provoke them. Don't provoke them to anger. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 4 of Ephesians, Paul says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's not a very interesting statement. It seems to be it's something directed particularly at fathers, something that fathers especially are guilty of. You can provoke, you can stir up the passions, the anger of others by what you say and by what you do. So the message is, don't be a provoker. Help control others, the anger in others. Do you remember one of the wise pieces of advice that Solomon gave in the book of Proverbs? He talked about the soft answer. That's when you talk gently, quietly, kindly to somebody. And he says the soft answer can have great effect because it turneth away wrath. If you know somebody's getting angry towards you, the natural thing in the flesh is just to get as angry back with them. But Solomon says, if you speak to that person with a soft answer, nicely, kindly, then it can turn away that wrath. It can have the effect that they don't erupt in anger the way that they were going to do or the way that you expected them to do. So the message is the kind, gentle, gracious words. Those can stop others from exploding. They can prevent others from getting angry. If you shout, they're going to shout back. If you get angry, you're going to get anger back. But if you're gentle, if you're soft in the words, then that's the response that you're going to receive. So you can control the attitude of others by your own attitude toward them. That takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of wisdom from the Lord. So control your anger is the first answer to the question. The second, I'll emphasize, is to forsake it. If you look at verse 31 of the chapter, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You're being exhorted to forsake these things. And we're dealing especially here with anger, so you're to put it out of your life. Don't have it about you. Don't say, that's me. Often that's the answer that people like to give. This is just the way I am. The exhortation, brethren and sisters, the instruction of the Word of God is to forsake it. Have done with it. Forsake it, shun it like the plague. Remember, if you play with fire, you're going to be burned, and it's just the same with something like anger. Why should we forsake anger? Well, let me quickly emphasize three reasons. One is because of sin. Anger is sin. If you look at the 26th verse, it's a familiar verse in the passage. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Great discussion about that verse, about the meaning of it. You might want to look into that a little further yourself. Remember, it's always good to study the Word of God a little deeper personally. The idea, I suggest to you, the meaning of those words is, see if you can be angry and not sin. Can you be angry and not be guilty of sin? Well, in most cases, the answer of the Word of God is no, you cannot. You need to put away your anger. You need to put away all anger. That's the exhortation here. And if the Lord's exhorting us to put it away, the reason that we have to put away all anger is because it must be something that's grieving, something that is sinful in His sight. Remember, again, Galatians 5, as well as setting out the fruits of the Spirit, it also sets out the works of the flesh. The two in great contrast. And anger is one of the works of the flesh. The teaching of that passage is that those works of the flesh should not be characteristics of your life. They ought not to be evident in your life. That's something that is wrong and sinful before the Lord. If I could read to you even the words of the Lord Jesus that are found in His Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5 and 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So think of it, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. It's not setting up anger there as a very serious thing in God's sight, in danger of the judgment. There's not a doubt, men and women, that it's sin, and it's something we need to forsake, turn from as the people of God. Another reason why you should forsake it is set out in verse 27. It's because of Satan. Neither give place to the devil. It's not a solemn thing. Giving the devil a foothold in your life. The message is if you're angry, you get out of control, well, you're not in control. And God is not in control when that passion rises up within you. God is not in control. You're not the one that's in control. Paul's saying there, the devil is the one that is really in control. That's a solemn thought, men and women. So we need to forsake it. And another, a practical one I'll mention, is sickness, a reason why you should forsake anger. Remember that anger is not good for you. If you read through the book of Proverbs, note some of the references to health, things that are good for your health. In Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about keeping God's commandments. It is health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Never forget that, men and women. Doing God's will, keeping God's word, is something that will be good for your health generally. That's the clear teaching of the Scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's not an interesting statement. Laughter is good for you. It's good to laugh. Laughter sometimes is described as the best medicine. Well, if a merry heart doeth good, well, you just think of an angry heart. It must be the opposite. If a merry heart's good, an angry heart is bad for you. Think of the symptoms, the red face, the swollen veins in the neck. The heart beats faster, the pressure and the arteries increases, and so on, and much more. Sometimes they say to you, eating too many fried eggs is bad for you, and too much chocolate, and so on. Well, too much anger has the same effect upon us, upon our lives, and upon our bodies. So forsake it, brethren and sisters. Treat it like a danger area that we should stay away from. The psalmist put it like this: cease from anger and forsake wrath. Couldn't be clearer, isn't that right? The clear command, the clear instruction of the scriptures: forsake it. The third thing I'll emphasize from the passage is that we should replace it. If you look at verse 32 of the chapter, the final verse, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. There's not to be a void in your life as you forsake the works of the flesh, like wrath. There's not to be a void in your life. You're to fill that void with Christian graces. You're to replace the anger with things like kindness. That's what Paul is saying here. Tender-heartedness. You're to display the opposite virtues from wrath in your life. Oh, how we need to ask the Lord to give us help, brethren and sisters, to be able to do that. Let me tell you how Paul put it to the Colossian believers. He says, but now ye also put off, notice the words, put off all these. And right at the top of the list, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and so on. And then down in chapter, or in verse 12 of the chapter, put on. Remember he said about anger and wrath, put off. Well, in verse 12 he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Do you see the picture there? It's like changing your clothes. There's some things you're to put off, and there's other things that you're to put on. As a Christian, you're to put off the garments of the flesh, the marks of the flesh and the devil. And you're to put on the garments of righteousness, the garments of Christ, the things that are the marks of Christ, the marks of the will of God. Put off the works of the flesh and put on the fruits of the Spirit. So replace that anger. Ask the Lord to help you to do that, that you'll be seen as a different person, completely changed. Replace the anger with kindness. Isn't it true how unkind, how cruel, how nasty people can be, even Christian people, especially when they're angry, when they lose control of their passions? He's saying we need to be gentle, good-natured, friendly, show affection. Affectionate towards each other. Tender-hearted. It's not another reminder, brethren and sisters, that God is interested in the heart. God is looking today upon your heart. He wants a tender heart in his people. Not a heart that's hard and cold and indifferent and evil. Remember Abigail's husband, Nabal. What a hard-hearted man he was. God wants a heart that feels, a heart that's touched by the needs of others. A heart that's not too hard. A heart that's not harsh to others, even in their faults, even in their failings and in their shortcomings. We need to be tender-hearted towards others, especially the Lord's people. So replace your anger. That's what he's saying. Replace your anger with these opposite Christian virtues. And then the final thing that is emphasized is you ought to forgive it. Forgive the anger. Verse 32, in the middle of the verse to the end, it says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have a duty, brethren and sisters, can I remind you of it, emphasize it? A duty to forgive others, a duty to forgive those who have trespassed against us, as the Lord's Prayer puts it. So we ought to be forgiving. We ought to be those that forgive the offender. We're not to be bitter. We're not to hold grudges against those that have done evil or done wrong towards us. Verse 26, it's a little bit of advice that is often given at a wedding ceremony or at a wedding reception when folk get up to give their speeches. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The meaning is, of course, you ought to make up. You ought to forgive each other, put things right before the day is over, before the day closes. One of the reasons why you shouldn't let the sun go down is there's no guarantee you'll live to see tomorrow, and you'd want to put things right before the day is ended. If you're angry, or if you have been angry, then you should seek forgiveness from those that you've wronged. Don't put it off, don't prolong it. Put it right. As that verse emphasizes, put it right that very day. And if someone seeks forgiveness from you for anything, but remember we're dealing particularly with anger, if someone seeks forgiveness from you for anger that they have shown towards you, you ought to forgive them. Remember, if you don't, you have sinned in not forgiving them. They have asked for it. The Bible speaks about an unforgiving spirit. That ought not to be evident in any of us. If someone asks for forgiveness, we should freely, without any conditions, give it to them. Forgive anger. And notice verse 32, the end of the verse, that it mentions the example of Christ. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember at the beginning of the meeting I read those words to you from Psalm 103. Slow to anger. There's God's great example. Remember, God is never guilty of sinful anger. All of God's characteristics, we emphasized that to you, and we dealt with his characteristics, his attributes, that they all operate in conjunction with each other. God is never guilty of sinful anger. The Lord here, brethren and sisters, is the great example for us. He forgave all your sins. He forgave your anger, even your anger against him, when you've been bitter and angry toward the Lord. Therefore, you ought to follow that example and forgive others, those especially that seek it from you. What should you do with your anger? Control it, forsake it, replace it, and forgive it. I'll tell you this just as a finish. At the start, I pointed out with that illustration of Judge John Weeks that in anger, people do things that they never intended. In anger, sometimes people do things that we would describe as being out of character. Moses was such a person. Moses was such a man. In the Psalm 106, there's a reference to Moses, the man of God. This is what it says about the children of Israel. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. What a warning, men and women. What a message there is in that passage. It's saying that the behavior of the children of Israel provoked Moses, the man of God, to anger in the wilderness. It is quite a story. Moses leading those people through the wilderness wanderings. It's reckoned, you know, there could have been 3 million of the children of Israel at that time. You think of the demands upon Moses as the leader. How frustrated he must have been at times. So they provoked him. They provoked him to anger. The result was that he lost his temper. He lost control. And he took the rod of God, and he smote the rock. Remember, that was in disobedience to God's command. The first time God told them to smite the rock, but on that occasion, the Lord's command was to speak to the rock. But because he lost control, he just lifted the rod and he struck the rock. I sometimes wonder, would he have liked to have taken the rod and struck some of the people? The result of his actions that day, well, do you see how the psalm describes it? It went ill with Moses. It went ill. The result, men and women, was he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. God didn't permit Moses to enter into Canaan, the place of blessing. And there's a warning there for us all. Anger can hinder you as a Christian, can prevent you. It can prevent you from going on with God as you should. God had much more for his people, much more for Moses on the other side of Jordan. But Moses was prevented from entering into that. So anger can hinder you from going on with God. It can hinder you from fully doing his will. And it can hinder us from the fullness of God's blessing upon our lives. Did you notice in that chapter, men and women, the reference that says that we're not to grieve the Spirit of God? It's not a solemn thought. And by our anger, that's one of the ways that we can grieve or quench the work, the movings of the Spirit of the Lord. So here's some answers to the question. What should you do with your anger? May God give us the grace. May he give us the anointing of his Spirit. May he give us the help that is needed. We can't do it of ourselves. We need the Lord to be with us. But may God give us help to follow these instructions from his word in days that lie ahead of us. We're going to sing 413 or some of the verses. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always. Feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing at the sick. The final verse says, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each temper beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit and filled with his love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. So we're just going to sing those two verses, 1 and 4, hymn 413. We'll stand as we sing, please.
Oh.
Father, we bow to ask for your help today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you've revealed to us. Thank you, Father, for all that's taught in the scriptures. We praise thee for this book that is so relevant to us, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We thank you, Father, for even speaking to all our hearts today about this matter of anger and wrath. We need the help of God. We cry for it. Fill us today with thy Spirit. We ask, Father, that more and more of Christ would be seen in our lives. We pray that less and less of the flesh and more of the Spirit. O God, we ask thee, come, put your hand upon us, even in those words that we have sung in recent days. Mold us and make us after thy will, while we are waiting, yielded and still. Go with us now. We plead that the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.